This is Jeff with Mountain Man Nutrition, and we are talking about hydration. And I talk constantly about hydration, water. It's vital. It's one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves. Over 80% of our body is made up of water. It is one of the main foundations of a nutritional therapist, right? But what I haven't really talked about much is about the quality of water. So we're going to do a deep dive into the quality of water and find out a lot more information about that, right? So stay tuned for this next episode of Mountain Man Nutrition. Right on. This is Jeffrey Hipschman with Mountain Man Nutrition, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. And we are talking about quality of water. And I have a super cool guest who did a deep dive for the last 20 years into water quality. And we have Nevin Eckert on the line. And how you doing, Nevin? What's happening?
Great, Jeffrey. Wonderful. Thank you.
I'm glad you're on the podcast, and I want you to give the audience and people and also me too a little history of why in the heck water and water quality, and what got you into this holistic movement.
Sure. You know, I've always been pretty fascinated by health, and you know, I grew up rural foothills, mountains of California, very close to nature. Started working in the forest and on farms at an early age. And so a lot of it was just kind of some intuitive sense of health and well-being and looking at what's going on around in the world and scratching my head a bit and going, you know, does this really make sense, you know? And so a lot of things, you know, as a teen and as a kid, you know, just the whole being sick and aging and disease and those sort of things really didn't make sense to me intuitively. And I always thought, you know, why do people get old? Why do they get sick? It just didn't make any sense to me intuitively. And I just really thought to myself and felt that inherently we should have a much greater vitality and a much greater capacity for wellness and health than what we were experiencing. And then I started observing things like organic farming and permaculture and seeing what was going around in the forest, and it none of it really made sense to me as far as, you know, the conventional farming and the chemicals. I worked in orange groves as a boy and got exposed to a lot of really intense chemicals in the late 70s. And I think that really affected my immune system. Later on, when I was 21, I got exposed to TM and transcendental meditation and vegetarianism and then veganism. As an animal rights activist, and my first partner, she had put herself through UC Berkeley all by herself and got chronic fatigue syndrome as a result of that. So this was back in 1991, and that's really where it kind of all started for me. I became really passionate about alternative health and saw how it directly affected my partner's ability to recover from a very serious condition of chronic fatigue syndrome and Barr-Epstein virus. So that was really, really kind of how it all started for me. And then in 1994, after living in Hawaii for 3 years, kind of, you know, talking to the universe a lot on a daily basis and asking for some guidance as to what direction my life should be going. I came back to California, and I was in the water town of Calistoga, California. And I won't go into great detail about what happened, but basically a dimensional experience that took me to discovering Victor Schauberger, who was a Bavarian naturalist that lived from 1885 to 1958. And Schauberger was known as the water wizard. And I discovered the life of Victor Schauberger in this little book called Living Water. And it just deeply, deeply, deeply moved me. And I identified with him very closely, and much of the questions that I had personally about the workings of Mother Nature and understanding the earth in its primordial state, because really I think that's what's missing a lot in our modern science and our modern perspective of the world, is we don't have a context for all the processes and for what the earth was like before man started tinkering with it.
Right, right. This is interesting because the, you know, the body, we understand as nutritional therapists, has an innate intelligence. The body will tell you exactly what it needs, exactly what it wants, especially to heal itself or to run optimally. And so does like the earth. The earth knows exactly what it needs, exactly what it wants as a whole living organism as one. And it provides itself with rain here or a volcano erupting here or this or that on its own innate intelligence. And we kind of have to live with that. And another interesting point is, like, nutritional therapists have a couple foundational mentors in this industry, is Dr. Price and Dr. Pottinger, who did some, you know, foundational work in this holistic health with epigenetics and, you know, like dental work and showing, like, the Aborigines and what they ate and the ancient people and, you know, and how the modern diet kind of destroyed our health. And then you have a mentor in the water field who was kind of looking at the same thing. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, similar to what you were just saying, you know, ancient cultures very much revered the importance of water, and they understood that in order to get what they needed from the water that they were drinking, that they needed to take that water from certain places. And in some civilizations, they needed to transport the water in a certain manner in order to preserve and conduct its life force. So the Egyptians, for example, went to all kinds of lengths to preserve the life force in water, in the channels and the different ways that they handled it. So discovering Victor Schauberger was huge for me. At the same time, I also discovered the concept of living water versus dead water.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. And, so make sure we get Victor Schauberger's links and some information on him, so our listeners can, like, do a deep dive into him if they're interested. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love to hear that.
So let's talk about living water versus dead water. What is the distinction there? And can you kind of describe both?
Of course. You know, well, a picture is worth a thousand words. So another book that I discovered at the same time was from a German researcher, Theodor Schwenk. It's called Water, the Element of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the late 60s, in Harrisried, Germany, they have an Institute of Flow Sciences. And the Schwenks, father and son, developed a method of photography to depict the energetic quality of water, or water being alive or dead. And that method is called drop photography. And what they did was they would take a drop of water and photograph it as it was impacting another droplet of water under magnification. OK,
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So
this was developed in the late 60s. And what you're looking at here is a droplet of water taken from a stream in the Black Forest in Germany after that stream had come into contact with the village or the town.
Right. And so we'll post contrast, some of these pictures. We'll post in these pictures on the episode notes so people can see them as well. This is super interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here is a droplet of the same water taken upstream before it comes into contact with the village.
Right. Wow.
So you can see the difference. There's all kinds of life and expression and vortices and movement occurring in the water.
Yeah.
Whereas with the damage downstream, it's essentially void of the expression.
Yeah. It's almost stagnant, yeah.
So this is really, to me, the difference between a live water and a dead water. And, the chemicals, running water through pipes, bottling water, stagnating water, all of those are circumstances in which water is dead or decaying or losing its life force.
Got it. That's an absolute perfect distinction. Yeah, it's in. Let's talk a little bit about this inside the body and inside the living cell. When you put the different types of water in your body and how your body recognizes and appreciates the live water compared to the drinking faucet water, the dead water.
Yes. So let's stay on track here with the health and nutrition and hydration, because really what it's all about is hydration and cellular hydration. And how do we go about achieving cellular hydration? So really there's three things at work in our body's ability to achieve cellular hydration. One is electrolytes. Are we ingesting and maintaining enough electrolytes in our body? Few different ways of going about that. One, the best way is eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. That's the best way, fresh, raw fruits and vegetables, be getting the electrolytes that your body needs. What the electrolytes do is they facilitate the conductivity of the microcurrents of electricity that are being sent from the brain to all the different organs and parts of the body to conduct the metabolism of the body.
Right on.
So electrolytes are really important. The second element is EFAs, if you're ingesting enough essential fatty acids. So those are really key and extremely important in the function of the cell. Third is the quality of water that you're drinking. Are you drinking a quality of water that has the ability to penetrate the cell membrane and hydrate you on a cellular level? So back in 1992, Peter Argy, he was a John Hopkins researcher, discovered aquaporins. And aquaporins are tiny water-bearing protein channels in the cell membrane. So the cell has the water outside the cell, and then it has the water inside the cell. And unless the water is of a certain structure and quality, and unless you're ingesting the proper balance of EFAs and electrolytes, that those factors are what contribute the ability to hydrate the cell. So the cell can pass the waste and regenerate itself and cleanse itself.
Yeah.
So it's all really about that inner, what they refer to as an inner cellular hydration.
Yeah, it's very it's synergistic. You have with all these moving pieces working together, because the fatty acids is what the cell membrane is made of, and that cell membrane with the electrolytes and the different minerals are the transporters from inside the cell to the outside the cell, where you have like potassium or outside the cell and sodium inside the cell, and these things are moving things in and out of the cell brain, cell membrane, and then the water moving in and out, getting rid of waste or bringing in other nutrients. It's all working together as one. It's just like the B vitamins. You just can't upregulate one type of B vitamin, you know, or kind of pinpoint one little piece of B vitamin, because they all work synergistically together as a whole, right? And the same thing with this water. So if you're, you know, if you're eating great fatty acids, but you're you know, mineral deficient, you're missing a piece. If you're dehydrated, but you got a lot of fatty acids and plenty of minerals, you know, I mean, you're still missing the point. So it's bringing it all together.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the holistic approach to our health. You know, I've kind of broke it down. There's four things that really attribute to our wellness. One is, are we leading an active life or are we leading a sedentary life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stress. What's going on with our psycho-emotional level and our stress load, or no stress? Nutrients. Are we nourished or are we malnourished? And four, are we hydrated or are we dehydrated? So those are kind of the four really basic things that I like to ask people and have them look at. You know, do they have those? What's going on with those four aspects of their quality of life and how they're taking care of themselves?
Absolutely, because it's not about being good enough. It's about being optimal.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Right on. Yeah. So, what is the next part of the story?
The next part of the story for me in these 20 years has been the drinking water. You know, because there's a lot of misinformation out there on drinking water. I see it as a huge missing piece. You know, practitioners, doctors, why aren't they talking about hydration and drinking water? You know, our bodies are mostly water. It's I believe, a foundation to health and vitality and longevity and living a disease-free life. It's a big piece.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not everything. It's certainly a very big piece, and it's a piece that I feel is overlooked and hasn't been studied enough. Mm-hmm. Certainly hasn't been studied enough, and it's kind of what's up right now is you know, what are you doing for your drinking water? And you know, if you're paying attention to the headlines in the news and seeing what's going on with the environment and all the plastic contamination, it's a big issue right now. What does one do for their daily drinking water needs?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that, because as a nutritional therapist, it is a foundation. We really hydration and water being 80% of your body is one of the most important and one of the first things that we look at on an individual basis with every single client. So let's talk about some of this drinking water out there. Why not just go with the multi-billion-dollar industry of these plastic bottled waters that you can buy for 69 cents? What's going on with this? Why would I stay away from bottled water?
So many reasons, Jeffrey. You know, the plastic piece in itself, there's just a lot of research. You can go online and research what's happening with all the plastics and how those affect the adrenals, the hormones, and the cancers. So there's a lot of research coming out on how the toxins from the plastic are leaching into the water that we're drinking, and how that's dramatically affecting, especially in women, their hormonal system, and causing imbalances and deficiencies in hormonal function. That's a huge one. And just the toxicity of the plastic as well. That's a huge issue. The plastic is absolutely not the answer. the bottled water. And it's just basically a short-term solution that's creating a huge long-term problem for the environment and future generations.
Absolutely.
So we got to put a stop to the plastic
bottle industry.
Water. That's got to come to an end.
Yeah. Really. Let me ask you this. Is like spring water in the glass bottles? There's so many different descriptions. Some of the spring water is taken in a truck, made of whatever, to a bottling in this factory and then put into glass bottles. And then there's, I guess, some bottling factories put in at the spring where they bottled right there. What's your take on like mountain spring water in at least the glass bottle?
In glass bottles. I think that's a better, definitely a more sustainable and a much healthier option. Absolutely. If you can get a good quality spring water that's bottled in glass, I encourage that. Definitely. It's not ideal. It's not perfect. And it's kind of the difference between purchasing something in a can versus growing it in your backyard and harvesting it fresh out of the ground.
It's interesting too, because it's $3, $4 for a pint of water.
And it's very expensive also. Yeah. It's really the difference between going to the store and buying your lettuce or growing it in your backyard.
Right on. Yeah.
So
the next step, I guess, let's just use, since we're here in Denver and you're in Colorado as well. What's wrong with just using my tap water, just to hydrate myself, right from the sink and right from the city water?
Wow. Okay. It depends on what city you're living in, but there's a few different things that I can offer about that. Definitely. City water's either been chlorinated or it's been treated with chloramine, which is a combination of chlorine and ammonia, and or it's been treated with fluoride. And going back a little bit, on the bottled water thing, I highly recommend a documentary called Tapped, T-A-P-P-E-D. And that really goes into great length and depth about the bottled water industry and really how nasty it is.
Got it.
And the wrong choice. Getting back to the city water, a very important documentary to watch is called The Great Culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G. And this documentary goes into huge lengths to uncover, quote unquote, the conspiracy behind the fluoridation of tap water.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information out there about fluoride and a lot of disinformation about fluoride. With your 20 plus years of experience of research in water, kind of tell the audience who might not know, what about fluoride? Because we've been told it's so beneficial and great for our teeth and we need it and blah, blah, blah. What's so detrimental about adding fluoride, to our diets and our brain, actually?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a scientist. I won't make myself out to be somebody that I'm not. I really highly recommend this documentary that I mentioned, The Great Calling. I've looked at a lot of different information about the fluoride issue, and this is the best. That documentary is the best. But what I understand about it is that it really goes a long ways in disrupting the metabolism and the function of the body. Hormones are greatly affected by the fluoridation. It also really dampens our cognitive functions as well. There's different types of fluoride. There's fluoride that's been highly processed and synthetically created. And then there's natural occurring fluoride that occurs in spring water. They're very different. And the fluoride that they're adding to the municipal waters and to some bottled waters is definitely a conventional, unnatural form of fluoride, which has dramatic harmful effects to the body.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because when we like create these, say vitamin, synthetic vitamin D2, your body looks at it and goes, what can I do with this? I can't work with this. You know, I don't know what to do with this stuff. And then when you have like a synthetic fluoride or something like that, it's really been linked to a lot of brain issues, like almost like the dumbing down of America or the brain fogging of America, or like to make you almost docile because you're like not as sharp. And I think this is where some of that research goes. And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the body looks at this crap and goes, what to do with it? And it has to kind of put it somewhere, you know? So it's interesting. I'm definitely interested in looking at that documentary. Yeah.
Amazing documentary. It's the best information, a lot of scientific information in there, and a lot of background history on, you know, why and how and what was behind the whole, you know, idea of fluoridating the city water. And really, I believe it is, to a great extent, about dumbing down society.
Yeah.
And making us more docile, like you said, Jeffrey. That's really correct.
Wow, that's super interesting. So the next step would be, okay, I'm kind of stuck with city water because that's just what I have to deal with. But I'm going to get a purifying pitcher or a charcoal, you know, under the sink thing, or my, you know what, my refrigerator has a built-in filter. What is this doing? And I want to get in a little bit about bacteria buildup too, because I think this is kind of an important bacteria and mold and things like that. So can you educate us a little bit on, you know, about these kind of small little filters that we can get? What do you think about those?
Well, if you're paying attention to the headlines, they're constantly coming out with new contaminants that they're discovering in the water. You know, the basic filters, the pitchers, the refrigerator filters, those are just taking out the chlorine and some heavy metals. And it has some effect on the other things, the pharmaceuticals, your basic carbon filter or your KDF filter doesn't do anything for fluoride.
Right.
So either have to have a bone char filtering media or what they call an alumina alloy media in your filter to remove fluoride, or you have to have a reverse osmosis or a distillation to remove the fluoride and heavy metals. So considering the quality of water that's being delivered to our homes these days and everything that's going on in the environment, the chemtrails, all sorts of things that are compromising our environment these days, basic filtering is not enough. It's not sufficient enough.
Right.
And even reverse osmosis systems, you know, there's good ones and then there's the best ones, you know. So it really takes some research and some homework to find out really what equipment is going to totally purify your water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all reverse osmosises are created equally.
Right.
And that's something that I've just discovered in the last 8 years, is understanding, you know, the reverse osmosis technology and understanding that, you know, some are much better than others. And,
Let's talk a little bit about the glyphosate issue, because Roundup is, we're dumping, you know, something ridiculous like 800 million tons of glyphosate on our earth per year now. And I don't know if that number is absolutely correct. Everybody you talk to is a different, but it's millions of pounds of glyphosate, and this, it's inevitable, and it's there's no chance it's not in our water. Are these common refrigerator filters or your pitcher or your basic under the sink filter, is it going to remove glyphosate?
No, absolutely not. No. Carbon's, you know, carbon filter and KDF filter, which are the two primary medias that are used in a pitcher and or under sink filter or a refrigerator filter, is not going to remove the Roundup contaminants.
And how well does the city water, is it you know, treat it with chlorine and this stuff, is it still going to leach through? Are we drinking typically, you think, plenty of glyphosate in our water that comes out of the sink?
Absolutely. And then that kind of opens up a whole nother conversation, Jeffrey. You know, filtering reduces contaminants. Mm-hmm. It doesn't purify and remove them 100%. So, you know, the physical quality of water is just one aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many of your followers understand the principles of homeopathy.
Absolutely. Okay.
So even though a physical contaminant has been removed from water, the homeopathic information of that contaminant is still present in the water.
Yeah.
Even after the physical purification. So further steps have to be taken to erase those imprints or that electromagnetic information or that signature of those contaminants from the water.
Right on.
Important.
Yeah. So the key here is you have kind of a dead water coming through your sink into your home, you know, and it's got chlorine and glyphosate and fluoride and things and coming in your home. So can you walk us through the best steps that you learned? And I, you know, you have your own system and you're an entrepreneur, a business owner, and you've designed the system to bring back the life of the water, not only purify it, but also you're adding to it. So let's walk through the process of adding to and bringing back to life this water through the system that you have.
Absolutely. You know, really, Mother Nature is our best teacher. So we have to look at her process and how in a natural environment, a high-grade spring water comes to the surface of the earth and copy that process. So you have seepage springs, and then you have true springs. Victor Schauberger clearly identified the difference between a seepage spring and a true spring. A seepage spring, the water travels down until it hits some rocks, and then it comes back to the surface. Whereas a true spring travels deep, 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 deep in the earth until it hits the molten layers, where it's completely purified, it's distilled, or it's reversed osmosis. It's reborn.
Naturally, yeah.
So it's naturally reborn deep in the earth and purified. So that's how the earth goes about purifying the water. It hits the molten layers, the steam and the heat purifies the water, and then it makes that journey back to the surface of the earth. And that's when the water is ripened and matured and endowed and fed and rebuilt into a whole food, basically.
Wow, that's a great analogy. That's amazing. Yeah.
That can nourish us. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't pick a fruit off of a tree that was immature. You wait until that fruit has ripened all the way and it has all the substance necessary to nourish you. Well, it's the same with the water and the way that water occurs on the earth. Rainwater inherently is a juvenile water. It's a young water. Well water is also a juvenile water. We're taking it from the earth before it wants to be taken.
Right, right.
So where, you know, you go up into the mountains, I'm sure many people have done this, and you find a natural spring. Some of them have pipes on them. I know outside of Denver, there's a couple of places near Boulder that you can go to harvest spring water. Yep. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, same thing in Maui. I used to live in Maui, and there's plenty of places there to pull some water out of the mountain. And a lot of them are piped. Some of them are not. You got to get it coming right out, though, because you don't want the animals to be around it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mount Shasta, California is a great place. In the city park, there's a spring there that just emerges right out of the side of the mountain in the park. And it's known by thousands of people. People go there all the time to fill up their bottles with the best spring water raw right out of Mother Earth.
Right. So how do you duplicate that? Give us I know there's several, even maybe six or eight different layers things that you do to put this life back into the water. Can you walk us through a few of those, that you feel are probably are most important, or I'm sure they're all equally important, but can you give us some details on some
of these? Well, the purification piece is the most important. I've researched water technologies. I'm really kind of a technologist more than anything, and looked at all the different equipment that's available in the world. Really, the best way to purify water is with a reverse osmosis and a deionization. And not all reverse osmoses are created equal. And the problem with most reverse osmosis systems is that you're getting a mixture of partially purified water with purified water. And why that happens is because when in between the usages of the system, water sits on the RO membrane and is there. And then that, when that system goes to be used again, that water gets mixed in with the purified water.
Ah, got it.
So I found a manufacturer that what he mostly creates are laboratory systems. So most of all his business is setting up purification systems for laboratories.
That's
his business. So he's developed an RO that has an automatic backwash mechanism that for each cycle of making water, it flushes the RO membrane with purified water, with water that's already been purified. So guaranteed, you're getting 100% purified water.
Every time. That's been
totally, totally purified. It's a laboratory grade purity. So that's the system, the purification component that I've decided to run with and work with and offer my clients. It's called the BEV 500, and it's a combination of reverse osmosis and deionization to create a laboratory-grade purity of water.
Great.
So guaranteed you get everything out of there. Uh-huh. From there, I have another component that's like a mini-earth, basically a slice of the earth that has some very exotic minerals and stones and crystals inside of it, some of which are from Japan, that mimic or copy the journey that water takes inside the earth from deep inside back to the surface that ripens and matures the water.
Awesome. Well, let's back up 1 second. For those people who don't really know what deionization is, can you give a little tweet about what exactly is that process?
That process is a removal of the dissolved solids from the water. So all traces of solids, mineralogical contaminants, are completely stripped from the water.
Awesome.
That's the deionization. So it's just one further step of purification that's capturing all those dissolved solids in the water after the reverse osmosis.
Right on. And that's imperative.
It's imperative. Considering all the contaminants that are showing up in our waters these days, mm-hmm. you can't compromise in the degree of water quality that you can create. You've got to have the very, very, very best. I believe.
Yeah, I'm with you. So so you have lots of different sediments mimicking the water going through the earth. Can you detail a couple of these different sediments and what they actually do?
Yeah, actually, hang on a quick second. I'm going to grab a document here. And I'm happy to share this via email, or there'll be links on Jeffrey's podcast newsletter as well. But inside the Tensui, it's a Japanese developed technology. There's a Gaia stone, there's a special sand, there's tourmaline, there's the Tensui stone. So they have different abilities of adding the trace minerals, nanoparticle traces of the minerals back to the water. And the other thing that I like to point out that's really important is going back to the purification, that water, after going through the purification component, is really hungry. it wants to grab on to minerals and stones and extract those properties and those nanoparticle sized traces of the minerals from those stones and minerals. So say you just used a basic filter in front of the transformation component or the minerals, it wouldn't have the same ability to extract the medicinal properties from those stones and minerals as the purification component that I'm speaking of that completely purifies the water.
Wow.
So that's one thing that I like to point out.
Yeah, it makes sense that the water, and you say, would be hungry because it's now more of a living, breathing entity. Yeah, it's like live water. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we're just copying Mother Nature, you know, and I think, you know, man has definitely gone a little too far out with his tinkering, with his ego of thinking he can outdo Mother Nature when we just simply need to copy her.
Yeah, that's amazing. Awesome. So let me ask you this one last question. So you being in this field for so long, what question did I need to ask that I haven't asked yet?
Well, you know, I'll put this out there because I'm asked this question often. One of the like hip new crazes these days, and it's not so new actually, it's been around for 30 plus years, are these alkalizing water machines. And people are constantly asking me, what about Kangen water? What about Jupiter water? What about Ange machines? They're all what I commonly refer to as a micro water technology that utilizes electrolysis to split the water molecule and create an alkaline-rich water. These machines were developed in hospitals in Japan back in the late 80s, and they were developed as therapeutic healing devices for people with severe conditions such as obesity and cancer. They were never developed or intended to be used as one's daily drinking water machine.
Got it.
The process. Yet in America, mm-hmm. with the invent of multi-level marketing and hype, they're being really aggressively marketed here to people as being the solution for their daily drinking water needs. I'm adamantly against this sort of treatment of water. It kills the water. So I know this is kind of a dramatic example, but imagine what happens to someone when they're put on an electric chair.
Right.
You know, that's what these machines are doing to the drinking water. So whereas the process that I work with, it's copying Mother Nature. It alkalizes the water. It ionizes the water, the same as what these machines say that they do, but it does it in a natural process. So that's something that I like to put out there. You know, another thing that's really important for people to consider is their shower water and the water that they're bathing in, you know, and what's happening when they're taking a hot shower. You know, their skin, all their cells and their pores are opened up, and you're absorbing all those toxins that are coming through in the shower water, and you're breathing the vapors of it as well.
Right.
So it's really important to have a very good shower filter to significantly reduce the contaminants that you're bathing in on a daily basis.
Yeah, right on. Wow, great information. So it's a fun-filled, packed, full of information podcast today, and I appreciate you being on today. This has absolutely been fantastic. So how can people find you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you'll have some links, I'm sure, to offer people, or you can check out my website. It's a work in progress. It's better to email me directly, and let me email you back some concise information that's right to the point. But you can visit my website. It's www.truestspring.com.
Right on.
Or give me a call. My toll-free number is 844-885-7388.
Perfect. That's great. And so what I'll ask you to do is just type me an email with all your contact information, and I'll copy and paste that thing right into the show notes.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Cool. Thank you for being on, and I really appreciate it, and good wishes to you, man.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks for doing all that you do.